Christ is risen. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of our victorious and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The chances are you've never heard the name Nikolai Burke-Heron. But during his life, he was a powerful man on earth. He was a communist. He had fought in the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. He was the editor of the Soviet newspaper Pravda, and he was a prominent member of the Politburo. His works on economics and political science are still studied to this very day. However, there's a story about Nikolai that occurred on a journey he took from Moscow to Kiev in 1930, where he addressed a huge assembly on the subject of atheism. Addressing the crowd, he aimed his heavy artillery at Christianity, hurling insults and arguments and proofs against it. After an hour of berating, as he looked over the assembly of thousands of people at the ashes of their Christian faith, in pride and arrogance said, "Are there any questions?" You could have heard a pin drop in that auditorium that morning. Not one person was brave enough to say anything. Until a frail, elderly old man began to slowly make his way up to the lectern. Standing shoulder to shoulder with the powerful communist leader, he surveyed the crowd, first to the right and then to the left. And he finally mustered the strength that was inside him and shouted that ancient greeting that is well known to the Russian Orthodox Church. "Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia," was a response that he heard from all those who were gathered as they all rose to their feet with that thundering proclamation that Christ has risen indeed. My dear friends in Christ, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. All of our hope hinges on the events that occurred on that first Easter morning, the empty tomb of Christ. For there Christ took on sin, death, and the devil, and he triumphed over them all. Today we hear shouts of joy. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Christ has stared our enemy face to face, and he has emerged triumphant. We'll sing the song that goes, "Mighty victor from the sky, hell's fierce powers beneath you lie. You have conquered in the fight. You have brought us life and light. Alleluia." As my friends, are the sounds of Easter for the Christian an everyday occurrence in your life? Do you celebrate every day with that shout of triumph that Christ is risen? He is risen indeed. Or do you find yourselves at times being sucked into the mundane and the ordinary things of life? I'm told that the older you get, as things become more mundane and ordinary, you begin to have the habit of going through the morning obituary and jokingly saying, "It's a good day when my name is not in print in the Lincoln Journal Star under this section of obituary." I have heard countless people flippantly say that as I get older, the more I look. The first thing I do over my morning coffee is I grab the obituaries and I begin to flip through it, not looking for my own name, but of people that I know. And if they're about my age, my mortality becomes even more ingrained in my mind that my life too will someday come to an end. Dear friends, that's just the way it is. We live in a world of sin and death. You and I live in the shadow of the grave. But I remind you that Christ has defeated Satan. He has defeated the grave and death once and for all. The victory is yours. I have in my hand this morning, printed out from my computer, the obituary that appeared under the Lincoln Journal Star. I printed it out this morning. Thumbing through the names that are entered, I don't see any of your names printed here this morning. But there are numerous people that you may know that names are printed here today. Each one of them has families that is thrust into the unenviable position of having to arrange for a funeral during this Easter weekend celebration. And by and large, the obituaries that appear offer a pretty glowing reflection of the life of those who have deceased, wouldn't you think? The fact of the matter is, I've never ever read an obituary that read, "Joe was a jerk. His life was an utter mess, and we are better off that he died because I hate the man." I've never seen one of those. Instead, obituaries are more putting the best construction on sometimes our mundane and ordinary lives. At times when I read obituaries, I'm going, "Wow, that man or that woman was amazing. I never knew that about them." After all, why would you take a shot at someone who's dead? You don't want to kick a dead horse when it's down, relatively speaking. What would you like to appear with your obituary? As people come to your viewing, as they look over your deceased flesh, what would you have them say? I once read a story about three guys that gathered around and they were talking about what they'd want people to remember about them. And the one say, "I want them to remember that I was a prominent businessman, that I was very generous with the poor and the needy, and that I loved my family." The second one says, "Well, I would like them to say as they look over my flesh that I was a loving father and a grandfather, and that I was highly respected amongst my peers." And the last one looked at him, shaking his head. He says, "I don't want them to think that at all. When they look at me in my coffin, I want them to say, 'Look, he's moving.'" Reminds me of the wealthy family that could trace their lineage all the way back to the Mayflower. They wanted to do a family history to reflect their lineage and their ancestry, which they could trace back to senators and doctors and lawyers and judges and pastors and also corporate tycoons. But there was only one problem, one dark mark on the family's genealogy, and it was Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe had been convicted of a hideous crime and had been electrocuted to death in the state penitentiary. So when the family met with the professional, they wanted to see how he would handle Uncle Joe. And the professional said, "Don't worry about it." He says, "I got it covered. You won't need to be concerned about that at all." The book came out, a thick book, leather covers, very fancy and ornate. But the first page they turned to was page 209, where it read, "Uncle Joe occupied a prominent seat of Applied Electronics in a prominent government institution. He was held to his seat by the strongest of bonds, and his death came as a shock to us all." As you read through those obituaries, you begin to wonder about the lives of the people that are listed here. Some of them young, and some of them older. You begin to ask yourself, did they die outside of the faith? Did they die without hope of the resurrection that is found through faith in Jesus Christ? Or were they brothers and sisters in Christ that died in the triumphant announcement that Christ is risen? He is risen again. Will their families mourn as those who have no hope? Or will they see them again on the resurrection of all flesh? As much as it seems so negative to me to start this sermon off with, he is risen indeed, and immediately go to death in the grave, I got to be honest with you, I haven't figured out how to preach at Easter without visiting the grave first. I mean, death is real. Death is palatable. In fact, there are only two certainties in life. One, that you will one day die, and the second, that you will pay taxes. Which reminds me, tax day is 10 days away. Are you ready? But I digress. Death is, as God's prophet said, the veil that covers all of us. Not one of us will escape the claws of death. For the wages of sin is death, we know that. But the dark cloud that hovers over us, it even sometimes smothers us. The reality is that you don't know when the end comes. It isn't like we're born in the world with an expiration date stamped on the bottom of our foot. I'm going to die on that day. The psalmist says, all the days ordained for me were written in his book before one of them came to be. The only one that knows is God and him alone. I can tell you from experience, having lost a child, that life in this world is fragile. A life that was bouncing up and down on the beach minutes earlier was taken from the water with purple lips, and life had escaped her, and her journey on earth was over. Each and every one of us could tell our own story as we looked into the ugly face of death. Death respects nothing. Death seeks only to destroy and to kill and cause sorrow and guilt and shame. This morning I had suggested that you cannot appreciate the Easter resurrection unless you first understand the significance of death in your own life. After all, Easter is God's answer to death. Easter is God's answer to death. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary, gave his life as a sacrifice for all of your sins, yet if he had not risen, there would be no forgiveness. When Christ rose from the dead, it's as if God pried the long bony fingers of death from his prey, releasing Christ once and for all. Therefore, you and I have hope. A hope that transcends death. A hope that transcends the darkness of the grave. A hope that transcends the gripping, paralyzing fear that death may try to foist on every single one of us. That first Easter morning was not filled with joy. There were no, he is risen indeed, hallelujah, cries that went out from Mary. And Mary Magdalene and Salome as they went to the tomb of Christ, because their job that day was not present. They were going to see something in the face of death that their eyes did not want to see. They were going to have to wash away from the one they loved the blood that had now dried to his flesh, his face, his hands, his side, and from his fingers. They would be the one that would clean his bloody body for burial. They would be the one to remove the blood that was matted to his beard and his hair. They would be the last ones on earth to touch Christ and to close his eyes in death. For them, it was not a happy, he is risen indeed, hallelujah morning. For them, it was a morning filled with concerns and worries and doubts. For they loved Christ. They had heard him preach to the crowd. They had seen him raise the dead. They had watched all that stuff, but now he was dead. They had seen and heard the sounds and the sights there around the cross. And now as they approached the tomb, their biggest concern was, how are we going to move the stone away? It's too big for us. How will we move it? And what do we do after today? Christ, the one we love, is his teaching all null and void? Is there any hope for us? What will we do once his body is anointed? Do we just go about our daily lives? The lives we lived before, it all seemed utterly hopeless. Some of you may be aware that for St. Mark, the Gospel of St. Mark, there's a shorter and then a longer reading as well. This morning you heard the shorter ending of the Gospel of St. Mark. And it ends with Mary Magdalene saying that they were trembling, astonished, and afraid. That doesn't sound like Easter morning now, does it? They were living their lives as if Christ had not risen from the dead. They were living that first Easter morning as if the world and the universe that they knew had not been changed forever. They were living as if there was no hope at all. Well, it's safe to say that there's many Christians that prefer not to stop there with the words, they trembling and astonished and afraid. Many Christians want to continue on to the end of St. Mark because this ending is so unsatisfying. How can Christ rise and then we're still in our fear? I would think if there were two Lutheran women, the one would have said, Christ is risen. And the other one would have responded, Christ is risen indeed, hallelujah. But I hate to tell you, it didn't happen that way. Rather, they went away from the tomb trembling, astonished, and afraid. You see, their experience with death is not much different than yours and mine. Because for you and I, death seems so final. We see the casket closed. We watch it drop into the vault. We see the lid cover it and the dirt poured on top and packed in the place. It's over. And there are times when you and I live as if there is no hope, that Christ's resurrection has changed nothing for us. But the angel sitting there tried to comfort the women by saying, don't be afraid. It's the same thing that Jesus Christ says to you today, don't be afraid. The angel went on to say, you seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. The two Marys saw death and they were alarmed. They were afraid. They were unsure of their future. The only thing that would give them hope was to know the truth. And the truth is exactly what they received because Christ had risen from the dead. He was no longer there. Perhaps it took them a while to wrap their hearts and their minds around the fact that the tomb was empty, that Christ was now living. Does it not take us a while to grasp the Easter message too? Martin Luther was pondering the fact of Easter and he once said this, one can never speak of Easter without raising to his feet. The sanctuary is never so cramped and crowded as on Easter day. Hearing its message and assurances is like Jacob hearing that Joseph was still alive. It is almost incredible. It appears too good to be true. Dear friends, I don't need to remind you that death is real. We have all seen it. Death is lifeless. Death is cold. Death has no respect for life at all. The resurrection of the dead seems completely and utterly preposterous to the world in which you and I live in. But in the face of death, Jesus has the audacity to say, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he asks the question, do you believe this? Well, there's no doubt that many of you will go about your morning ritual tomorrow morning as well. You'll pick up that newspaper. You'll turn to the obituaries to make sure your name's not there and to see if there are friends that you know that are now deceased. Those of us who are still living, let me assure you that if your name appears there, we will grieve for you and your family. But I'll tell you, we will not grieve as those who have no hope. After all, Easter people we are. You and I are people of the resurrection. Why? Because death has been swallowed up in victory. Almighty God crucified and risen from the dead for the life of the world. The hymn writer said this, now no more can death appall. Now no more the grave enthrall. You have opened paradise and your saints and you shall rise. Alleluia. Dear friends, the peace of God which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray.